the flesh and the Spirit of God. And that battle begins the day you're saved and ends the day you leave the earth. It's a reality that we all face, but God wants us to face it with His strength and with His wisdom and by trusting and leaning on Him. Amen? So here in Galatians 5, verse 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." So our title today is that these are contrary. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love You. We thank You for the privilege of assembling here in the name of Jesus Christ around Your precious Word. Pray the Holy Spirit would now use it in each of our hearts to not only teach us, but to change us. And Lord, may we open our hearts and be responsive. I pray that mighty miracles would happen. I pray the Holy Spirit would be in control of all that's said and done, and that Jesus Christ would be magnified, and that we would leave this place changed. We ask this in Your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Walk in the Spirit. It's just four words, but it's a huge challenge. It's a huge responsibility for those of us that are born-again Christians. And if you're a born-again Christian, you have the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 9, "If any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his." The day you were born again, the Bible says you became the temple of the Holy Ghost. He moved in. And God wants you to not only acknowledge that He is there, but God wants you to let Him take control, to walk in the Spirit. Down in verse 25, the same chapter, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." If you're born again, you live in the Spirit because you have the Spirit, but that doesn't mean that you're automatically walking in the Spirit. That is a conscious decision. That is a conscious surrender on our part to let the Spirit be in control. In chapter 6, same book, verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." In Romans 8, 1, the Bible says, "We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." It is God's will that we walk in the Spirit. Look at Colossians chapter 2, if you would, and verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Notice what the Bible says. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." So if you're born again, you received Christ. Now you received Him in the person of the Holy Ghost. He moved in. But notice what God wants from us after that. Walk ye in Him. To walk in the Spirit. While you're in Colossians, look at chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." God wants us to daily put on the new man and to walk in the Spirit of God, to let Him be in control of our lives. Now, back to our passage, chapter 5, verse 16 of Galatians, Paul gives a beautiful promise here. He says, "If we walk in the Spirit," what? "You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, we all struggle with the flesh, don't we? But God gave a beautiful promise here that if we will walk in the Spirit, that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the converse is also true. If we are fulfilling the lust of the flesh, we are not walking in the Spirit. The two are never happening at the same time, and we're going to find out why in here in a few moments. If we're walking in the flesh, we're not walking in the Spirit. Romans 8, if you would turn there quickly. And verse 5, God makes it clear it's always one or the other. And we'll talk in a few moments as well about how the devil has tricked the church into thinking that they can do both at the same time in their worship. But notice Romans 8:5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." It's always one or the other. God tells us in Romans 13:14 to make not provision for the flesh. Why? The flesh is dead. The flesh is crucified. Didn't Paul say, "I'm crucified with Christ" in Galatians 2:20? We're told many times in Scriptures, Colossians chapter 3, "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." And then back to our chapter, Galatians 5, verse 24, look what it says. "They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh." Isn't it amazing how much energy and time we give to a dead person? But that's exactly what happens. When we let the flesh run our lives, when we submit to and walk in the flesh, we are allowing a dead person to control us. That's crucified. How foolish are we to listen to the devil, to listen to the flesh? So why can we never be doing them both at the same time? Look at verse 17. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other." They're always at odds. They will never agree. They are contrary. This is big. You cannot do both at the same time. They are contrary. David said, "All of my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." He said, that I would just obey, that I would just live for you. You know, the Apostle Paul fought the same battle we all fight. Let's look at it in Romans chapter 7. And if you're a born-again Christian, nobody has to explain the battle to you. You know it because you live it all the time. Where the flesh, the dead flesh, rears up its ugly head and says, "Do what I want. Please me. Make me happy." And the Holy Spirit just quietly is there saying, "No, obey. Obey God's word." Romans chapter 8, chapter 7, look down at verse 15. This is the Apostle Paul talking about his own personal experience. He says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." That's all great news, powerful doctrinal truth. But now it's going to get personal. Verse 19, "I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." Wow. All this time I've been reading chapter 6, haven't I? Well, I hope you enjoyed it. Let's go to chapter 7 now, where I told you to go, verse 15. It was a great doctrinal passage about the flesh and the Spirit, but anyway, that wasn't where I was headed. Chapter 7. "For that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. They're contrary. They will never get along. They are at odds with one another. While you're in Romans, look over in chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind, that word carnal means fleshly, is enmity. That means they're at odds with one another. They are enemies of one another. Is at enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Remember, they're contrary. So God just made it very clear there in verse 8, didn't he? If you're walking in the flesh, you cannot please God. How many times do we try to serve God in the flesh? Maybe we're a Sunday school teacher. And we've been teaching for years, and we know how to teach, and we know we're pretty good at it. The kids are responsive. And so as we're preparing our lesson, we don't even consult God. We just do it because we're good at it. And then when we go into the classroom, we just do it. We don't even pray. We don't commit it to the Lord. We just do it because we're pretty good at it. We just taught a lesson about God, but we did it in the flesh. The Bible says, have no confidence in the flesh. And yet how many times do we just do things for God, but we're doing it in our own strength, we're doing it in the flesh? Didn't the Bible just say, if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God? So we're absolutely wasting our time as far as pleasing God if we're doing it in the flesh. Because they are contrary, they can never, ever get along. If you go to John 4:24, Jesus made a very interesting statement about worshiping the Lord. This was at the woman at the well, the woman in Samaria. She tried to start a debate, if you will, about where people should worship. Jesus didn't take the bait. But he did say in John 4:24, God is a spirit, capital S. God is a spirit. Now, God chose to manifest himself as a human being for 33 years on earth through the Lord Jesus Christ. But God is a spirit. God is everywhere. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is a spirit. Notice, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Why is that? Because the spirit and the flesh are contrary. So you cannot even worship God in the flesh. And the devil comes along and says to churches 50 years ago or so, oh, sure, you can do this. You can bring in the rock beat and really make people enjoy the worship. But what are you appealing to with that beat but the flesh? So we have to be ever so careful to remember they are absolutely contrary. They do not get along. They cannot happen at the same time. It's one or the other. Which is why we must walk in the Spirit. Realizing that if we're walking in the flesh, as we saw in Romans 8:8, if we are in the flesh, we absolutely cannot please God. So, I don't know about you, but I find this really tough. As a Christian. Because every day the flesh says, I want to be in control. I want to run your life today. And the Holy Spirit just quietly waits, doesn't he? For us to get into the Word, for us to get back on our knees, say, Lord, I need you today. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need you to be in control. And then as soon as we stand up, the flesh says, okay, let's go. I'd rather run the day, if that's okay with you. And oftentimes we say, that's fine, flesh. It's much easier to let you run my life. It's a battle to let the Spirit run my life, so I'd rather just do what I do And then we just wasted how much energy and time doing nothing for God. Paul realized this in 2 Corinthians 12. Let's turn there quickly. God had sent a thorn into his life. And Paul, being the man that he was, wanted to be the most efficient missionary church planter that he could be. And he came to God and he said, Lord, this thorn, we don't know what it was, but whatever it was, it's hindering me, Lord. It's keeping me from being the best missionary I can be for you. Paul's motives were not selfish. It wasn't that he wanted to get rid of the pain. It was that he wanted to be more effective for God. And he came to God and asked God to take that away. And notice in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Three times he came to God and said, Lord, please take this thing away. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This is God speaking directly to Paul. And he says, Paul, you need the thorn to keep you humble and to keep you reminded every day that it's not about the flesh, it's about me. Then Paul, all of a sudden, he changes his story and he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me so that I can serve the Lord and the power of God. I now understand what God is doing. God is allowing this flesh to keep me reminded every day that I need to rely on Him. I can't rely on myself. I can't rely on my flesh because the flesh and the spirit are contrary. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure. Look at the end. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Paul said, I learned something. I learned that I need God's power every day. I need God's wisdom every day. I need to be led of the Spirit every day. And God has been so kind to give me this thorn to remind me every day that I can't trust my flesh. My flesh is going to lead me astray every time. And so, what a beautiful truth that if we will walk in the Spirit, what a beautiful promise. If we will walk in the Spirit, verse 16 of our passage, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. My friend, if you walk in the flesh, you cannot please God. He says in verse 18 of our passage, if you be led of the Spirit, this is what it's all about. Who is leading us? Is the Holy Spirit leading us? Are we following Him? Or are we being led by the nose by our own flesh? You know, most of us find as we've been saved a while, our own worst enemy is our own self. We blame way too much on the devil. The devil didn't make you do it. You made you do it. I mean, yeah, the devil's real and the devil tempts us and the devil comes after us like we found at family camp. But most of the time, it's our own flesh saying, I want to be in control. I want to run your life. Listen to me. And we don't say to him, go to Romans 6 if you would. We don't say to him, you are dead and I'm not listening to you. So leave me alone. Notice Romans 6 down in verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You see that reckon? God is saying it's already true. Doctrinally, you're already dead to sin. But you know what we need to do every day? We need to reckon it to be true. We need to acknowledge it to be true. Every day, we have to remind that flesh, you are dead. So stop bothering me today. I wish we could do it one time and it was over. And say, well, for the rest of my life, I don't want to listen to the flesh again. But it doesn't work that way. The flesh is not that obedient. The flesh would rather always, every day, say, yep, okay, it's a new day. I would like to be in control today. But notice he says, but alive unto God. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Who is reigning? Today, tomorrow, yesterday, Is it the flesh or is it the spirit? Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as unrighteous unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Well, wait a minute. We were just told that we're to reckon ourselves to be dead in verse 11. But in verse 13, we're told that we're alive from the dead. Yep. One is the flesh and one is the spirit. The flesh is dead. The flesh is crucified. So stop listening to this dead body that you're dragging around. And instead, acknowledge that you are alive. You have eternal life. Who gave you that eternal life? God. And the Holy Spirit, God and the Spirit, moved in and indwelt you and gave you His eternal life, but also gave you His presence. The Bible tells us in John 14, John 16, He's there to guide us. He's there to convict us. He's there to teach us. But He's there to lead us. But that's always up to us every single day. Who am I going to walk in today? Because if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. Every day we're commanded, walk in the Spirit. And notice it says, verse 17, these are contrary. Never forget that. So don't think that you can try to trick God into believing that it's okay to do both at the same time. You can't. It's impossible. You are either at any given moment of time as a Christian walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. You're never doing both at once. What that means, practically speaking, is you're going to fight this battle every day of your Christian life until Jesus comes or until He takes you home. That's the reality of the Christian life. It's a battle. When you're unsaved, there's no battle. You just do what you do, right? You're the devil's child. The flesh is in control. And there's no battle. As soon as you get saved, like we read in Romans 7, you start fighting a battle. Every single day, the Holy Spirit is there, quietly convicting you of sin, quietly leading you to be in the Word and be in prayer, but also quietly asking you to let Him be in control. The flesh, not so quiet, quite loudly every day, says, no, I want to be in control this day. And every day it's up to us to make that conscious decision. Which is it? They're contrary. These are contrary. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word and this reminder today that the flesh and the spirit are contrary. And Lord, I pray that we would every day, to the best of our ability and with Your help and grace, re-crucify that flesh, tell it to leave us alone, and yield ourselves unto the Holy Spirit of God, that we daily might walk in the Spirit. And You promised if we would, that we would see the beautiful fruit of the Spirit become part of our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be children who would strive to daily walk in the Spirit and acknowledge that it is contrary to the flesh and never be tricked by the devil into believing that we can do both. So I pray for Your help in this area for each of us that are born again Christians. Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, they don't have the Spirit yet. I pray they would realize that Christ died and rose again, that they might be saved from their sins. And also, if they would be born again, they would receive the Holy Spirit, that they might begin to walk in Him. And I pray they would do that today if they're not saved. Thank You for speaking to our hearts. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.